Are you running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys, here for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. Wednesday afternoon, 4:30 here, or depending on where you're listening to this podcast, it could be any time. Give us a call, 395-1450, 395-1450. The phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you here.
Or send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're at a computer, you're having a problem, go ahead, send us an email, and we'll try and get to it on the show.
That's right. Well, Kev, it's good to be back here. Always look forward to Wednesday afternoon.
It's nice break in the week. Let you know Wednesday's over, coasting into the weekend. What a great time to listen to The Computer Guys.
That's right. And our listeners are getting used to the new time.
Yep.
And it looks like they are calling in now, so let's go ahead and get our first call of the afternoon lined up. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with The Computer Guys.
Hi, guys. I appreciate your show. We're here from time to time, and hopefully you can steer me with my, about a six-year-old HP Pavilion that I'm getting messages that my hard drive is filling up. So 39 gigabyte machine when it was new, and I just had basic software in it. I'm not loading any new software. I use it basically for email and browsing on the web.
And how old is the computer, did you say?
About 6 years old.
About 6 years. Okay, and it says the hard drive is filling up, or does it say low system memory or low memory or...
That says that this. I go and look at the.
The C drive is full.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says I only have 746 megabytes of free space.
Okay.
No idea where it's all gone.
How big is the hard drive? Do you know?
40 gigabytes.
Really, and you're only doing internet email.
Right, and I did a defragmentation, and that sped things up a little bit, and I ran. Scan disk, and I found no errors on the drive.
Okay. Is it Windows 98, Windows ME, it's Windows XP?
ME, unfortunately.
Millennium Edition, okay.
That's right.
One of the things you might want to run is disk cleanup.
Disk cleanup, okay.
And to get to that, you right-click on the C drive, right, Kev? Go to Properties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's under...
it'll give you an option there where it reports free space. It'll say, you know, have a little button for disk cleanup, and you can click on it, and it'll go through, and it'll estimate how much space it can actually clean up for you.
Okay.
And what that does is it gives you options to delete temporary files, old installer files. But really, that's interesting that you filled up that much without actually installing much in the way of software. Hey, are there any old programs that maybe you once installed and haven't used?
Not of any significance, no.
Okay.
Really?
There's got to be something here that's... Do you do anything with digital photography or music?
I do have maybe 50 pictures in there.
That shouldn't fill it up.
No.
Something strange is eating up your space, and I've seen it before. It's possible. It's not very common that it could be a virus. Some of the older viruses, one of the things they did, they were called space fillers, and they would basically just create a bunch of junk files to fill up your hard drive. Not very destructive, but kind of annoying. That's a possibility. If you have 40 gigs of space, that's hard to use up unless you store a lot of information.
That's what I thought.
You know, and we're talking documents, emails, those hardly take up any space at all. It's more the media files and program files that would take up a lot of space. So there might be something going on here. Now, one other question for you. When you go into my computer and you're looking at the drives on your machine, does it show just one hard drive or more than one? Is there like a C and a D, which are both the local disk?
Yeah, there is an M and an N drive, compact disk. It's got a disk burner on it.
Okay.
Never used.
Are there any other hard disk drives showing there? It could be a drive or just a partition.
Just a floppy.
Just that. Okay. Because some of the older machines, they would partition the drive, and one partition would sometimes fill up. But yeah, that doesn't sound like it's the case.
There are 82,000 files in there, but there none of them are any significant size.
You know, I would start with a disk cleanup and see where that takes you. You might find that you have a lot of temporary internet files.
Yeah.
It won't be 40 gigs worth, but no. It will free up some space. So I would say you try that. You might want to have it looked at. That might be a good idea because you've done all of your basic steps and you've gone and you've verified how much space you actually have showing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll get messages about that even though you aren't short on space. But you have verified that Windows is only reporting a certain amount of space. So you might actually want to have that looked at.
Okay.
All right.
I may stop down to your fellow one day.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you much.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye.
I don't know, Kev. Sometimes we saw one the other day. I forget how many gigs they had. It was quite a few.
Yeah, but I mean, it's possible. You know, it's possible that he installed a whole bunch of things 3-4 years ago, kind of forgot about them.
But not that many.
Not yet. 40 gigs is a lot of space to use up, even for somebody who does a fair bit with music, unless you're archiving a huge collection. So there's probably something on there that's just eating up some dead space.
That's right.
Well, but you never want to have somebody just go and delete things without necessarily knowing what they are or what they're looking for. So that can get you into more trouble.
That's right. I don't know. It could be temporary internet files.
Yeah. That many gigs of temporary internet files.
Hey, you never know.
You want to bet?
I already made one bet today. That's all I can handle.
Did you lose?
No. We won't find out until Sunday night. It's on the Lions-Packers game.
Boy.
Give us a call. The phone lines are open here. You're listening to the Computer Guys here, 395-1450. We'll be here today till 5 o'clock. Phone lines are open, so give us a call. We have, all you have to do is ask. We've got a caller online here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Question, I was just curious. What's your opinion? What's the best way to go for digital photos? Go with a... printer docs or a photo printer or a combo printer, what do you suggest?
If you're going to be printing photos,
yeah,
don't waste your money on a printer.
No.
No, it's not worth it. The output that you're going to get from your, little even $300 photo printer is not going to be as good as the, $10,000 plus equipment that you can, have your photos printed on when you either send it away to a photo service or you go to one of the local photo labs and have them printed out. And you're talking anywhere from 10 to 15 cents a print.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, unless you just need the absolute convenience of being able to print it at home, I would recommend probably outsourcing your photo printing.
So just go to Riley Camera and use the kiosk.
That's a great way to go. Riley Camera is a great way to go. You can do things by mail order, too, with any of those photo services. But you also get the assistance there of, hey, you want to adjust something, you want to crop something out. Somebody can help you out with that.
So then if you just got a regular inkjet printer at home, you can, if you absolutely have to print pictures, you can run some photo paper through there.
Sure. Yeah, if you're running photo paper, you're going to get pretty good results. Even on an entry-level inkjet, you go out there, spend $100 on an inkjet printer. If you get good paper and you set your quality pretty high, you're going to get a pretty decent result.
Hey.
Now, the overall cost per print is going to be higher.
Right.
But, if you need to do it, it's a good way to go.
Thanks for the help.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do that. You can set up, Walgreens.com has it. You can upload online, pick it up in the store.
Yep, exactly. But, go into a place, Riley Camera, it's local. They can definitely give you some help with that, too, and say, hey, we could adjust the color here. That's always good to have that, too. But if you're really comfortable working with it, those online photo services, 10, 12 cents a print, you get them mailed to your door, low-cost shipping. It's really just not worth it printing your own pictures, especially so you're starting to print and all of a sudden you're running out of ink. Well, now you just wasted a piece of paper and the time, and so it's just a better idea.
Kev?
What's that?
Last week we asked for a little feedback from some of our international podcast listeners.
We did. We threw it out there.
We got a comment on our website from Ireland.
Yes. I love it.
So there we go. Merry Christmas from Ireland, they said. So
I appreciate that.
Thanks for that. Hopefully they'll listen to this, and we appreciate our international audience.
That's right. And if we're ever in doing a live remote from Ireland, come out and see us.
Or maybe we could stay with them.
There we go. Let us know. might be out that way next summer.
There you go. Give us a call here, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys on WHTC.
That's right. And maybe you can comment on this, but hey, hold on to those Wii remotes. Sometimes the biggest problem for a new game system is making enough units so everyone wants to get their hands on one that can. But in the case of the Nintendo Wii, there may be a challenge in getting people to keep their hands on the controller for the new console. Nintendo's president says the company is looking into reports that the remote straps are falling off the Wii controllers. They tell reporters in Tokyo that a company is investigating how much the problem is showing up and what can be done about it. When using the Wii, players swing the remote like a sword, baseball bat, or as a boxing glove, depending on the game being played. Iwata observes that some people are getting a lot more excited than we'd expected.
Oh, man, so are they? You should see them.
Company has to help people understand how to use the remotes properly.
There's a great video on YouTube of a girl doing the boxing.
Yeah, she's pretty excited about that.
Did you see that one?
It's like a full body workout. Oh, she's like standing in her kitchen or something and just going
yelling
crazy
and screaming.
So, and that's what you look like when you're playing, isn't it?
I'm a little bit more reserved.
A little more reserved. So,
although
I guess you know,
can't say that for everyone who's played.
No.
The Wii at my house. So,
anybody thrown it?
No, it hasn't been thrown yet. Isn't but it? I do agree because for whatever reason they made this nice thick wrist strap, and then the wrist strap connects with this tiny little string to the controller.
Yeah.
So the wrist strap itself is fine. You know, it's like a centimeter, you know, wide and pretty thick.
Yeah.
But then the little connector string is just this tiny little piece of string.
Yeah, it's like the digital camera straps. You know, like on a little handheld digital camera, the straps around your wrist is fairly good size, but then it connects with that little, but you're not throwing your camera. It's not a big deal.
Right.
So,
but you should see some of these pictures of these TVs or laptop screens have been broken. You go to the website, wehaveaproblem.com.
That's pretty funny. Yep. Goes through all these little video clips. Some of them may be staged, but I do appreciate them showing a nice, you know, LCD TV that's got a big crack in it.
Yep.
Or somebody launched that remote.
Not
so.
Necessarily computer-related news, but, you know, video game consoles.
Oh, yeah.
They're more or less computers.
They are. They definitely are. So, I haven't had a chance to play the Wii yet. You obviously don't want to invite me over to play video games.
Well, I've been sickly.
It's true. I don't want to come over. Get the disease.
So, but anyway, another video game console that's also turned more violent, the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Here's a story about some kid who stole two of them from another college friend or acquaintance or somebody. Cops came to arrest them and shot him to death.
Yep, came to the door. Supposedly, they thought he might have a weapon. Turns out it was just the video game controller in his hand.
So there you go, kids. There's a lesson. So, don't steal.
That's the moral of the story. Don't steal.
Whether it's a PlayStation 3 or your computer.
Yep. You never know what's going to happen. So,
well, what about computer-related news, Kev? Anything exciting coming up? Here you go. Here's something. You know, we haven't really talked much about it. And it's, I can't say it's really exciting, but Office 2007 will be coming out in the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't have a release date for that. And I've had a chance to use it a little bit, the beta version of that. It's just another thing. And you'll also notice if you purchase, like if you're buying a new computer right now and it comes with Office 2003, that actually includes a free upgrade to 2007 right now.
Yeah, anytime you buy something pretty close to the release date, most of the time they will offer that free upgrade.
Now, I don't think that applies to the Office Student and Teacher Edition.
It's not upgradable.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't apply, although that's such a great deal on that anyway that, you know, even if you have to buy it again.
Yep. That's true. So
I don't understand it. Microsoft charges $150 for the Office, the Student and the Teacher Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's charged like $400 for like the regular one.
Standard, exactly. So that's one way of helping out the educational system. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people take advantage of that and use it incorrectly. So we're not out there to judge. You know who you are. Yeah.
So anyway, but I mean, you got to admit though, I mean, you look at it and you go, well, what's
$150,
the
$400, same programs. Is it going to run? Yes, it's going to run. I know.
And a lot of businesses too. I mean, you know, they went out and they went to Staples and they saw them, and most of the time, you know, places like that, they don't check. They don't ask.
That is one issue, the lack of enforcement with that.
But if you do have kids, or if you're a teacher, or if you have kids in any type of education, You can get that price, and that is a great deal for that. So,
yep. And the nice part is, you know, let's say you have more than one computer at home. One of your kids has a laptop. You have the home desktop. As long as they're all going to be used for educational purposes, even occasionally, it's valid for three installations. So, that's
you could have three computers at home. Your kids are using. You only have to buy it once. That's only $50 per computer. That's pretty good.
Great deal. Can't argue with it.
So anyway, so the 2007 version will be coming down the pipes here, not too far away. So
yeah, one of the things they tried to do in 2007 is make it a little more user-friendly to get some of those features that are built in that people don't really know about more accessible.
I haven't used the new version where they sort of they've kind of scaled back their little ribbon feature.
Exactly, and the ribbon gets a lot of acclaim. People say it's the best invention
yet. They scaled it back, though.
Yeah. But still, that idea and the way that it makes everything more convenient, they say that they wish they would have taken some of that into Vista.
Mm.
So I read an article on that lately and said, hey, whoever was working on that, get them working on the operating system. You know, the more intuitive, people are a big fan of that. That's kind of one of the things that Macs have always excelled at. You know, putting the stuff out there that you actually want to use.
Yeah, and that's just the thing because, I mean, Word... Just for instance, which is what most people use.
Mm-hmm. Industry standard.
It does a lot.
Oh, it does a ton.
But when's the last time you did more than change your font,
center
bold,
something,
center it, you know, just
know,
the
exactly.
basics.
You know, and you use it for what you need to. Not everybody has to use the fancy features, but sometimes, you know, that you go and do it manually and it could have done something automatically in about half the time. Or it would do that annoying thing where it tries to take over and tell you what you need to be doing. You love that, don't you?
You're talking about Clippy?
Auto format?
Oh, I hate that. There's nothing worse than the auto format. You hit, like, you put, like, the number one, and then you type something, and you hit enter, and it tabs it all in, and it changes the way everything, and you go, oh, no, backspace.
Oh, can't do it. Nope, sorry, it's been auto formatted.
So, but anyway.
So, yeah.
Give us a call here, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys. The phone lines are open. Give us a call here. We've got till 5 o'clock, another 10, 12 minutes here. Get your calls in.
This is kind of a sad note. Not that anybody would know this name, but Al Shugart, hard drive pioneer for Seagate. He was influential in the first hard drive storage system, which came out 50 years ago this year. Can you believe that? 50 years ago. First hard drive storage system.
First hard drive?
Hard drive storage system.
So in 50 years, what will we have?
I don't know. Big leap. But anyways, he was 76 years old. He worked for Seagate, and he passed away. So it's kind of sad. Hard drives, big time. Big invention.
And they've gotten small, too.
Oh, they've gotten so small. They're throwing them in everything. You know, that's what makes your iPod work, as long as you have one of the higher capacity ones. Your computer, you know, desktops, laptops. You know, micro drives, any one of those, all based on that same technology.
Remember when we were going through all that computer junk at our office and you found that 40 gig hard drive I had?
It was like
4 inches thick. Yeah.
Seriously, you could have stopped a cannon blast with that thing. It was huge.
But what I wonder is, you know, those things seemed like they were made a lot better than hard drives today.
I mean, of course, to cut down on cost, you know, they've made everything smaller, lighter weight, thinner. You know, you lose a little bit of the oomph behind it, the quality, you know, and two, just the faster they get, the more heat they generate, you know, and that's kind of like the leading cause of failure is just too much heat. So, you know, back in the day where things were slow and it could turn all day. So, there's hard drives out there that have been going for 10 plus years, you know, not the new ones.
In the average person's computer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've been out there, or even in some, I installed an old system. It was bought used for a company that needed to run something which ran in Windows 95. So they use that in addition to the normal computer. It stays on all the time, and it's been running for, 5 years, and it was probably 6 years old when it was bought. So it's been going for, over 10 years. It's incredible. But not today. I doubt a hard drive today would run that long.
You know, Kevin, that reminds me, too. We don't talk about it often enough, just in the same way. I don't think people do this often enough, is back up your information on your hard drive.
Yep. I would agree.
And the reason I say that is because last night I swapped out our backup at our office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit, it had been a little while.
Yeah, how long, Dave?
Don't worry about that.
I'm going to do that every week.
I never say I do it every week. So, but anyway, it is important because all hard drives are mechanical, and there's two rules about anything mechanical. Number one, anything mechanical will eventually break. And the second rule is you can't do anything about the first rule.
Exactly.
So with that, let's go back to the phone lines here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hey, Computer Guys. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You?
Hey, I've been calling in the last couple weeks, and, you know, I got that little stocking stuffer gift that I still have to get for my wife.
Okay.
And what I was wondering is, are you guys, are the Computer Guys going to put out, like, a CD with, like, the Christmas Carol? The Computer Guy Christmas Carol?
No, but if you listen to WHTC, they have this 12 Days of Christmas, and we did it last year, and I think I still heard Kevin and I singing. I don't know, remember what day it was.
Did a repeat?
Well, yeah, I think that's
got a great voice for that.
Yeah, we would like a Dave solo Christmas album.
Could you do like a little Silent Night for us here?
Yeah, a little preview.
Well, no,
he won't do it.
Merry Christmas, Computer Guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And if that CD ever comes out, we'll be sure to get a hold of you.
No, I can't. The problem is, I don't understand different things like what do you call it? Tone, pitch.
Yeah. Are you tone deaf?
I just don't understand it. Let's continue on with the phone calls here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Good afternoon. You brought up an interesting question on hard drives that could run for 10 years in years past. What is a good principle or practice today as far as a home computer as to leaving the tower on all the time or shutting it off every night when you're done? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Well, one of the first things is that on most new computers, they should come with that little energy star thing, which means that the computer should shut down after a certain amount of time, or at least go into a standby or a hibernate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find that your computer is always running, you know, that's not a good thing. You know, generally what we say is at least shut it down at night.
Yeah. You know, and this is, it depends on you and the user. You got a couple different levels of power saving. One is your monitor turning off. Always a good thing to do, you know, using a screensaver and then after 20-30 minutes of not being used, having the monitor turn off. Great way to do that. Second thing is the hard drive in the computer itself, the actual disk that we're speaking of. There's an option in there to have that shut down after not being used for a period of time. Now, this doesn't work as well as it used to because there's so many applications that are constantly running on your computer. Antivirus in the background, always scanning. You know, if you run the Google desktop or anything else that's running, it's indexing the contents of your hard drive. So it's, you know, often that drive doesn't get a chance to go to sleep. And the next level would be sort of a standby or hibernate where it looks like the system is off. But if you come and you push the power button instead of booting up it again, it'll just kind of come right back to where you were. So that's the three different levels, basically.
But all of those options can be found right in the control panel under power options.
Exactly, and you can set those accordingly. We would definitely recommend at least having the screen and the hard drive turn off. And as far as shutting it down at night, a great principle. So do that. There's a lot of people out there who are told, I don't know why, don't shut your computer off. It's better if you do. It'll run better, it'll save energy, and it'll make your system last longer.
There we go. Thanks, Kev. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Good afternoon. Every once in a while, there's a thing. Click here to install updates for your computer, like Java updates. Should I do that? And what is that?
Sure. Yep. There are a couple of things on newer computers that you'll usually see. One is the Java updates, and the other is the Microsoft Windows updates. And both of those are fine.
Okay. What does that really do?
Java is a programming language for various websites, and so if you don't update it, what you might find is you go to one website maybe that includes some Java, and it's looked fine to you in the past, and all of a sudden they made a change, and you can't really see the website anymore or a portion of it. And so to keep that from happening, you want to keep that Java up to date.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call.
I kind of wish, though, that they would just sort of
do it.
Do it, you know?
Don't tell me, just do it.
Well, it's like when Norton or any antivirus program pops up and says, found a virus. Well, great. Delete it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
And there's ways you can set that, but by default, they usually don't.
I know. But it's like, come on. Yeah. What did I pay you for?
Exactly.
Not to annoy me with this pop-up. Just do your job.
Do the job.
like Windows with the updates. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about, well, you know, corporations need to test some of the updates sometimes first and blah, blah, blah. Well, they should know how to go in and disable the automatic update. But for the average home user or just computer user, just update it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's the exception where it makes a change that is unwanted. But you know, you're not going to know that if you ask for the update or if it does it automatically.
That's the thing. Most of the time, I mean, like with the... We saw a problem right away with Juno having problems with Internet Explorer 7.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so with those, you know, it's just...
You don't know until you try it anyway. Yeah. So
Windows updates, good thing to do. Java updates, you know, not a huge problem if you don't, but I'd say go ahead, do that.
Yeah, the other thing you can do with Java updates is don't update it until you have a problem. If you're having problems accessing certain websites or... You know, using other Java functions, then try updating your Java and see if it fixes it for you.
Yeah, I have to say, though, it takes a little longer than you'd think.
Yeah, depending on the size of the update. But yeah, it does take a little bit.
Seems like they should be able to speed that along. No?
Sure.
Come on, Kev, you're always the one who wants everything to be fast, fast, fast.
That's right. It should all happen at night when I'm sleeping. Just leave your computer on, let it do whatever it needs to do. And just be good to go in the morning.
That's right. And some other exciting news here, Kev, about our podcast. I was informed of this earlier. If you have iTunes and you click on podcasts and you search computer, we're now on the first page of search results.
You got to like that.
That's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. That's good. That's good stuff.
You can see our smiling mugs on there.
Oh, maybe we should update that.
I put on a few pounds since then, so I don't think we need to do that.
We could Photoshop that out.
Slim it down.
Squeeze a little bit off of you.
No, I don't think we need to do that. So, well, Kev, anything else exciting in the world of computer news the last week or two? We've got one more minute left.
Exciting. Here. Well, UCLA got hacked into.
You know, I heard about that.
Huge. It's their database that includes things like social security numbers, home addresses, and birthdays. So there's a lot of little, despite 800,000 people in the hack database, it says only one section comprising fewer than 5% of the total showed signs of having been accessed. So somebody got in there, but it doesn't look like they were able to get everything out of that. But the bad news is there's still a lot out there that is going to be floating around as a result of that. More identity theft, I'm sure. Other interesting thing, MySpace beats out Yahoo as far as web traffic. Popular online hangout spot, has managed for the first time to edge Yahoo in online traffic. Figures from MediaMetrics say that MySpace recorded nearly 39 billion page views in the United States last month. That compares to Yahoo's page views, which total a shade over 38 billion. That's a lot. Wow, 39 in 1 month. So anyways, they took over.
95% of those were from teenage girls chatting back and forth.
That's right. But hey, they were out there in web traffic. That means something. So if we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. Our office number is 394-4940. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 833 Maple Avenue. That's the corner of 34th and Maple.
That's right. Well, we appreciate the calls. We appreciate the listeners. And Merry Christmas in Ireland.
That's right. Thank you for that. So,
well, thanks to everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of the Holland Area's News and Information Station, 1450 WHTC, Holland.